It was about the size of a cat, but its body was so solid black that it looked.
What? As opposed to those semi-transparent cats.
It looked as if it were swallowing the light around it.
Huh?
We're talking black hole black. And.
Like black hole sun?
What?
Black hole cat.
What you doing by my leg?
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name's Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
No, we can't ignore
that popular, the Bigfoot segment of the audience that tunes in every week to hear about Bigfoot. I'm going to ignore them. So Katie's going to kick off with some awesome listener mail. If you want to interact with us through the internet, we're on Twitter at Hey You Know It, and you can also send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
Yeah, please do.
We'll read it on the air.
Yeah. So this is from Sid.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Hello, Hey You Know It.
Hello.
Saw this and immediately thought of your podcast.
Okay.
Also about how we're practically laying out the red carpet for Skynet. Because now there's not only robot snakes, there's robot bats. Robot bats with fake skin.
Why?
And there's a link. And Sid
you
says,
followed that
good
link.
Luck.
Good luck. Thank you. We'll take
thank
that
you.
Luck.
Thank you, Sid.
Yeah.
So I followed the link and took a look, and there is video of robot bats, some of them with dark like skin, some with clear skin, flying, looking like a damn bat.
Why? Why? They look like a real bat?
Yeah. And the clear skin ones are horrifying because it looks like bones.
Ew! It's like a slim, good body bat.
Researchers from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign think mimicking nature is the best way to help robots take flight.
Oh, we gotta go protest them. They come up a lot.
So with the help of a 3D printer, they've created a flying robotic bat, complete with a layer of fake silicone skin for the wings' membranes.
Ew.
It somehow manages to make real bats look almost cute in comparison.
Okay. And that's a far. I don't have a problem with bats, but I understand they creep a lot of people out.
Yeah. Weighing in at just 92 grams. I forgot to do the conversion.
Boo. I don't know what 92 grams is. I should be able to figure this out.
Thanks to the carbon fiber airframe.
Okay.
So I guess it's light.
Okay.
We guess. And the bat bot.
Okay.
Or
BatBot?
Or B2 for short.
They couldn't come up with anything else?
Uses five
motors. B2's already been taking people by a little thing called the B2 Bomber. Ever heard of it? Jeez. Really? Read a book.
You know? Yeah, read a book. Ever heard of it?
Ever. B2. I'm calling this the stealth bat.
Yeah, stealth. Have you ever heard of it?
Ever heard of it.
I like that.
Okay.
He uses five motors on a board to control the flapping and articulation of the wings.
Okay.
It's intelligent, too.
Is it? No, it's not.
No, it's not. With an onboard microprocessor and sensors, it allows it to navigate a room without the need for exterior motion capture system to keep it out of trouble.
Okay.
So it won't bump into something.
Great.
Like a bat.
Great. Great. Good job. Because it shouldn't bump into things.
Yeah.
That would be a fail.
Yeah. So, watching it fly. Ugh.
Did you watch a video of it?
I did.
It was creepy.
It just looked like a bat, and you knew it was not.
Well, that's the thing. We need to bring back the slingshot.
Yeah.
I need like a digital. Like, I need a digital slingshot on my phone, like an app.
Yeah.
That can shoot this thing out of the sky.
Yeah.
Somehow, like send a digital virus to it or something. That sounds horrifying.
It is horrifying. So we have the robot snakes that go underwater and fix things. The bats that fly through the air.
The little tiny robot pill that crawls out your ass. The origami, you swallow it.
Right.
It assembles itself.
In a previous show, we talked about the origami
pill. That crawl. You eat it,
and it crawls. If you swallow a battery, it will cover the battery and help you.
And a thousand cranes come out your ass.
Kind of like a slinky.
For peace.
Oh, man.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sid. And I say thank you for sending it in, but also I guess thanks for creeping us out.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's creeping us out hardcore. Yeah. And
I don't like it.
Skynet is on the way.
Where is the robot praying mantis for search and rescue? Like it's just gotta be the things that are creepiest to us, that's what they're gonna try to
The praying mantis is a deadly entity.
Exactly. And that's why they're gonna make a robot for old people and for search and rescue that looks just like it.
Yeah.
Just like. So I have some advice on advice.
Oh, yeah. Advice on advice is the segment wherein we find advice on the internet that stinks.
Yeah, and it's unqualified.
And we give our advice on that advice. Hence, advice on advice.
So this is from Carolyn Hacks.
Oh, Carolyn Hacks. Yes.
Dear Carolyn, I believe that one way a family becomes closer to one another is sharing space and making the best out of any situation.
What?
I already don't like you.
I don't like this.
My son and his new wife are always warm and cordial. You know what that means.
Hello.
They don't like you. Yeah. Hi. How are you? Fine. Mm. But they seem to go out of their way not to spend a lengthy amount of time with us.
Gotta go. Have a big day tomorrow.
For example, we were attending a family wedding, and I suggest that we all take one car. This is never a good idea.
No.
Like, once you're over 16 or 18, depending on when you're driving, mm-hmm. you don't want to just take one car, mm-hmm. because then you're trapped. My son declined, and when I pressed, he said he thought it would be too crowded and that they would like to leave the wedding when they are ready to.
Yeah.
This is why we all have our own cars.
Yes.
Second example. For Thanksgiving.
Oh,
yes.
This is very officious.
Yes. For Thanksgiving, my son said they were getting a hotel room. I asked why. Because they want to bone down and relax.
Yeah.
And maybe they don't want to spend all of their time. Okay. He said our house is too crowded and uncomfortable for overnight visits. Mm-hmm. He's being nice, lady.
Yeah.
He's throwing you a bone. I genuinely feel like there's a distance between my son and his wife and the rest of us because of these choices. Yes, they're trying to put that distance.
Yeah.
That 5 miles from the Motel 6.
You got to realize that not everybody wants to
be up on you like that. I offered a compromise. They stay with us one night and get a hotel the other night. My son said no.
Yeah.
I feel uncomfortable with this situation and desperately want to be closer to both of them. The kind of closeness you get from sharing space and making compromises. Who are these people? But I feel like I'm the only one compromising! Exclamation point. Why do they just get to decide how the relationship is and I have to go along with it? Because that's how that works.
Yeah.
It's called boundaries.
Yeah.
I'm almost positive they stay with her parents. And I really want to know why they are so resistant to staying with us. You can't figure that. Okay. I am drafting an email to my daughter-in-law about this, but I wanted your opinion first.
Well, also, another thing is, if that is the only way you can develop closer relationships with a person is
proximity?
To be in their space and then trying to like have to figure it out.
But
that's
can't
not
she
good.
See that she's a pushy person that her son and daughter-in-law don't want to be around?
Mm-hmm.
Because she's so pushy, they don't want to be there. Why? You want to all crowd in the same car together so you can spend time together? Is that where you spend time together?
That's like reenacting like childhood
situations
that you're comfortable with, even though nobody else wants to do it.
And you're controlling it because you're the adult, right? You're driving.
Right.
You're in the front.
So you kind of develop these family things out of a need because, like, you know, the power gets shut off. So everybody goes and hangs out by the fireplace or something.
Yeah. Or your car broke down and you need to go somewhere. You all go somewhere together.
Yeah.
Or, you know, everybody drinks except for one person.
Yeah.
It's just safer. That's the only time, like, when we go somewhere that I'm like, yeah, I'll get a ride with your mom. It's like, I'm getting tow up.
Yeah.
I might even be able to find the car. Like, so she says, Carolyn Hack says, no, capital N, capital
okay, right.
O, no, don't send the email, 3! And Carolyn Hacks never uses exclamation points.
She does not.
Never in nearly 20 years of writing this column have I seen in-laws become closer by insisting that they deserve more closeness.
Yeah.
And how is your being comfortable with no other arrangement than them staying with you not deciding how the relationship is? They're deciding where they stay. Totally their prerogative. You don't get to quote-unquote compromise on other people's business. She's laying it down. Deciding to equate housing with closeness, meanwhile, is your prerogative. So you can decide otherwise. For example, you can see housing is housing.
Mm-hmm.
And closeness is closeness.
Right.
To respect their decision is another option.
Yeah.
That this woman does not want to do. Because that directly affects how close your relationship is. You have a lot more influence than you acknowledge. A closer relationship happens when both of you, you and your daughter-in-law, accept each other as is. Yeah, the daughter-in-law saw this one coming. It's like, I'm not going.
Yeah, right.
And this is it's interesting because I've been a daughter-in-law and... You know, it's not my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do I need to go in there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
To go and spend, especially when you're with someone's son or daughter and you're sleeping in their house.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? It's just like uncomfortable. Like, what are the rules of the house? Are they people who are ashamed of nudity? Mm-hmm. Or is it going to be okay for you to walk with a towel down the hallway? Is it good? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, what's right, the situation?
What are the rules?
What are the rules? Yeah. You can be an obstacle to that process by digging in and sending wounded, blamey emails, or you can lead an example through acceptance, which includes being happy to see them, not criticizing or seeing yourself as the victim. I don't know how this woman paints herself as a victim because they don't want to stay in her house or be in a car with her. Is she going to be okay?
No one wants to come to my house.
You should be thinking about why you're so offensive to them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why are you so awful that they don't even want to spend a night in your house? Think about that.
It's funny because if you want to be closer to a person, say, I want to, you know, establish a relationship, you know, with you, it doesn't mean that you have to sit on their lap.
No.
That doesn't mean you're close.
It says, but you seeing strength in their choices. And see, she should respect their privacy, basically. Paying attention to verbal and nonverbal cues about the comfort when they visit. Not having tantrums. And it's funny because some people weighed in and they were like, dude, chill out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, leave it alone.
Boundaries, and it's not all about you.
Why an email, though? That's the word. Like, if you are upset and hurt by something, then I think you could go to your son. Probably your son, because it doesn't seem like you have much of a relationship with your daughter-in-law, and be like, is there a reason why you guys don't want to stay here? It could be something that doesn't have anything to do with them. It could be the father. It could be somebody else in the house. I mean, it could be that maybe the daughter-in-law has a reason why she doesn't want to share bed or bath no more. You know what I mean? Like, who knows what people have going on? So, very interesting. But the idea that she would write an email and be like, you guys have to stay with us. They're grown-ass adults.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
So weird.
Yeah.
Stay with me.
I don't like to stay with people's families.
Stay with me in the spare room. It's usually like twin bed.
Yes. And then
there's dolls. Oh my God.
There's weird pillows.
Yeah.
And doilies.
Yeah.
Or it's just like this woman seems like doilies, the kind of person that you'd want to go to bed early and she'd be like, oh, let's continue to talk. And you're like, I don't like you.
Or they go to bed early and then you're sitting there like, oh, well, you know, I guess I'll go stay in the doily room.
With the weird dolls.
With the weird dolls. There, I stayed in one house of a friend, and there were all the clown dolls, like hand-crocheted clown dolls and other clown dolls, you know, like. And
that was the theme of the room?
There were just a lot of them in there. And I said, I need not to see these. Can we put these away?
Like, most people have a fear of clowns and dolls. These are clown dolls. Like,
so we actually had put them in the closet because I wouldn't close my eyes with them. They were looking at me.
Because I'd be afraid that when I open the eyes, they'd be closer. You know what I mean? Because I'm stupid like that. Like, you know what I mean? That's my fear, is that the doll will be like, oh, it was over by the door. Now it's at my feet. That's creepy. Yeah, my mom kept a lot of my dolls.
Yeah.
And I always hated dolls, but she liked them. So she would buy them.
Yeah.
And it just got to the point where they were, like, kind of, like, taking over, and they were creepy because it's like, how many pairs of eyes could be in one room? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's too much. She used to buy me lots of bars. I don't like dolls.
You're right. It's eyes. It's the eyes.
It's the eyes.
If we could only, not to gouge out the eyes of the dolls, that would be worse.
Just don't have them.
Don't have dolls.
Just have a blank face. You know?
Oh.
I don't think that's as bad. I just fucking don't have a doll. My favorite toy was a dump truck. I had a Tonka dump truck. That was awesome. I had no eyes.
An inspirational saying across the face.
Great. It's just a mantra. You know? Like, what would it say?
It would say something like,
keep it real.
It's a choice to be happy.
It's a choice. Choose life.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right, what do you have? Oh, wait, that wasn't what you had. No. That was yours, right? Was that you?
No. It was your advice.
Oh, the advice. We went to the dolls. I thought we were in tails.
No, I have tails. I have tails for real.
And this is appropriate because Tales from Dear Campfire is a segment where we tell ghost stories, myth, legend, folklore, fake lore, urban legends.
Scary stuff.
And we retell them here around the digital campfire. So gather background.
Yeah.
If you didn't gather around for the doll thing.
Yeah.
Gather back.
Gather around for this one.
Yeah.
It's called Kitchen Creature.
I like the idea of someone listening to a podcast alone gathering. I've never thought about that before. But yeah, collect yourself.
Yeah, well, it's kind of an emotional, mental exercise.
Yeah, together.
Right. Okay.
Yourselves.
This is by Tiger Wolf.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. 2 nights ago, I was doing the dishes in the kitchen. It was approximately 4 a.m. in the morning.
Wow. Really? Okay.
Yeah. All kinds of things
Tiger
there.
Wolf.
My parents and brothers were asleep, but my two sisters were awake. They were in the office at the front of the house, though, a good distance from the kitchen.
What kind of place is this?
I know. This is why I'm telling the story.
It's an office? He's up at 4. His sisters are up. Some people are asleep.
It's like doing dishes at 4. We don't have a dishwasher, so I was working.
It's you. You do have a dishwasher. It's Wolf Moon or whatever. Tiger Wolf.
So I was working on scrubbing a broiler pan by hand, and it was very, and I was very focused on the work.
It's a process. Right.
Yeah, I would hand wash a broiler pan. I wouldn't put it in a...
It's never going to get clean unless you hand wash it.
It's important to note that I was not sleepy in the slightest. I'm a night person, naturally.
Okay.
And
well,
I find...
you're a morning person, my friend, at this point.
And I find it easiest to sleep between 6 a.m. and 3 p.m. and be up the rest of the time. Mm-hmm. I take night classes in college because of this. All right. So you're a student. This is fine.
Yeah.
So now I'm pulling it all together.
Yeah, yeah. It's like my dad. My dad has always worked a night shift because he's that's his sleep schedule. So, okay.
In our house, there are also 7 cats. So...
Hold on. Really? This is not going to end well.
So when I feel a cat rubbing up against my legs, I didn't look down at first. Mm-hmm. It was probably just our orange tabby, Ziggy, thinking I had food to give him.
Of course, it's a cat.
Yeah.
It's like, yo.
The bumping became more insistent, and I sighed. I didn't want to kick him away, so I looked down. Well, yeah, intending to tell him to go away. However, what I saw was most certainly not any of our cats.
Okay.
Living or dead, as in addition to the 7 cats living. We also have 4 very active cat ghosts of previous pets that have passed away.
So 11 cats total.
Whom I see regularly.
7 living, 4 deceased, but present. Unaccounted for. Okay.
All right.
I got it. I'm with you.
It was about the size of a cat, but its body was so solid black that it looked...
What? As opposed to those semi-transparent cats.
It looked as if it were swallowing the light around it.
Huh?
We're talking black hole black and...
Like black hole sun?
What?
Black hole cat.
What you doing by my leg?
Okay, so black hole cat. Is
yeah. And looking up at me were 2 glowing red eyes. Mm-hmm. However, the most terrifying part of all was the head.
I can't wait. What was it, a foot? Like an unmanicured foot? Like, what happened? Okay.
In the blackness of the body, it was stark white. It was a skull.
Are you serious? This is awesome. All right, I'm going to stop interrupting.
I have a lot of experience with...
with skull cats?
With skulls.
Did he really say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
As a paleontologist in training, I can tell you it was not a normal... small mammal skull.
Okay.
It had aspects of a
primate
skull.
Wait, stop. What kind of paleontologist would... Okay, whatever.
What?
Paleontology? Then now he knows all about a cat skull?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. That's what he's practicing on.
Yeah.
He's in the pet cemetery. He's dusting.
Dusting, yeah. Right.
It had tabby.
Aspects of a primate skull, but also aspects of a skunk or raccoon skull.
Okay.
It wasn't feline or canine at all.
So he's saying it was a... skunk slash monkey?
Raccoon slash.
Skunk.
Yeah.
Okay. A skunkoon.
Just all white skull, red eyes, black.
Yeah.
Black old
sun. Black old cat body.
Yeah. I choked, unable to scream. I leapt back away from the sink, slamming into the stove behind me.
I would have kicked the shit out of it. Is that your first reaction? If you think that, so say you're at my house or whatever, we have our dog,
okay.
But you know, and you feel the dog come over to you.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, whatever. And then you look down and it says black hole dog with like a massive baboon skull. Would you kick it? I'd be okay with that.
You'd be okay if I did?
Yes, I would too.
All right.
Because it's not supposed to happen.
But what happens, what if you don't want to touch it with your foot?
I don't think I'll have a chance to think about that before I kick at it and run.
My eyes, so he almost knocked a dirty pan to the floor. My eyes found the area the thing had been, but it was gone. I looked around the kitchen. It's also important to note that the bright lights are already on in the kitchen so I could see to make sure the dishes were clean.
Okay. I thought this black old cat was sucking up all the light.
I know.
There was still a little bit left for you to see.
Yeah. All of this didn't happen in a dark room. It was brightly lit, but the creature was nowhere to be seen.
Okay.
Terrified with my heart pounding, I quickly went back over, turned off the water, and ran through the dark living room into the office with my sisters, closing the door.
Mm-hmm.
I told them what I saw, and we all agreed to wait until the sun came up for me to finish doing the dishes.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't know yet. Do the dishes.
Yes, that's the important thing.
Yeah.
I gotta finish with that broil pan.
I didn't know what the thing was, but based on its behavior and despite its terrifying appearance, I didn't feel it was malevolent.
It was just hideous.
Yeah.
Okay.
I attract animal spirits regularly, but I still don't know what that thing was. If anyone else has experience with something like this, I'd love to hear about them.
We've never heard of anything like this before.
Yeah. So here's some of the comments.
Okay. Bring so we get you. Prognosis, black hole cat.
In my opinion, you said that some cat ghosts have been wandering around your house, right? Well, maybe.
It's very conversational.
Well, maybe this was a demon cat or something scarier. Anyway, I enjoyed your story. Wish you the best.
Peace.
Here's another one, that another comment. Oh my gosh, that is number one. Oh my gosh, that is extremely scary.
Okay.
I would cry and I might even have fainted.
That's not going to help. You don't want to be on the ground with that thing.
Two, maybe you could do research on different animal skulls and even animals that are extinct. You never know.
This guy's getting out assignments.
Three, are you sure it was an animal? Four, do you think it was a demon?
Okay.
Five, I'm glad you love cats too. Ha ha. And somebody says, can you please make a sketch of the creature?
Okay, that's legitimate.
That's legit.
Yeah, yeah,
but there's
yeah.
no sketch.
Oh, that would have been helpful.
Yeah. Somebody else says, wow, I love cats. I have three, but I always wonder if there can be spirit cats and dogs.
If you believe hard enough.
Then somebody says, I too have cats, which is a good thing for me, being that I am a nocturnal by nature, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's another reason why I love them, because they suit my lifestyle.
These make it talking about themselves,
yeah.
though.
I don't know what
I
you
like
saw
size
either.
I 8.5 shoe. I can wear a 9.
Wide. I find the wide. I don't know what you saw either, but you described it well. Maybe you were seeing something that couldn't totally manifest.
Oh, that makes
Isn't that
sense.
Good?
But what, I mean, if it didn't manifest, what would the head look like? Or maybe it was just working through
something. It was working through the skull and
yeah,
was trying,
yeah,
to,
trying
get the,
to get the, to the
get
skull.
To this, get to the, it was like, you know.
Yeah. It was like, work with me.
Right. It was like American Werewolf in London.
It shot its load on the black hole cat body part.
Right. It's like, I got that down.
Yeah. They said black. Look at this. Sucking up all the light. I like it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was like, yeah, manifesting. That's probably
that's
the key.
That's kind of creepy. Manifesting is the key. That's what was going on. So I'm going to follow. Oh, I'm going to move away from that for a second. We are almost like a third into this year.
Yeah.
And I just want to do a little review of the worst films of 2016 so far.
So far, okay.
And have you seen any bad movies this year, like in the theater? I haven't really seen anything in the theater that's been bad.
I haven't seen anything too bad, no.
I've seen some best of at home.
Right.
But not in the theater. So these are movies that got very few fresh tomatoes. So here's a movie called Ratchet and Clank.
Mm.
Ratchet and Clank. This was an animation. That's hard to be bad. Like, if you're turning kids off...
Right.
Like, what's going on? Ratchet and Clank is a story of two unlikely heroes who struggle to stop an alien named Chairman Drek from destroying everything on their planet.
Mm-hmm.
Ratchet is a foolhardy Lombax who has grown up alone in a blackwater and a backwater planet with no family. Clank is a pint-sized robot.
Oh.
So even with this, kids were still turned off by it. The two stumble upon a dangerous weapon capable of destroying entire planets, and they join forces. Along the way, they learn about heroism, friendship, and the importance of discovering one's own, as opposed to someone else's identity.
Oh.
Because I got 16%. I had never even heard
of
it.
Is this against identity theft? Or the idea that you need to be yourself?
This is protect your identity.
Okay.
Zoolander 2. Did you see Zoolander 2?
I didn't.
Well, it apparently got 24%. Set 10 years later, and mostly in Europe. Derek and Hansel's lives have changed because they're, what, 50?
Yeah. Yeah.
Playing 40. And they're not relevant anymore. An opposing company attempts to take them out from business. I remember when the movie came out, and then I kept seeing more and more. Because you know when you're not sure, and you just keep seeing more and more advertising?
Yeah.
And it was gone.
Yeah.
But before I know, it was in Target.
Right.
London Has Fallen.
Where?
There was one, I think there was one called Washington Has Fallen. After British Prime Minister passes away, his funeral becomes a target of terrorists who want to destroy some of the world's most powerful leaders, devastate the British capital, and unleash a terrifying vision of the future. The only hope rests on the shoulders of the President of the United States, played by Aaron Eckhart.
Yep. Mm.
And then his formidable Secret Service head, Gerard Butler.
What?
They're going to work together. I know.
What a team. I can't
Morgan
think of...
Morgan Freeman is the vice president.
Oh.
Really? Shouldn't he be the president?
Could you imagine how that ticket was that they were running on? Morgan Freeman, Aaron Eckhart.
Yes. But like, Morgan Freeman is the
should have been
two.
The president. Yeah, Morgan Freeman should have been the president. Easily.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, that came and went, of the film reveals a family secret that will bring the beloved characters back for an even bigger and Greeker wedding. Not Greek? They're Turks. That's what they find.
But if it's Greeker, then the husband should be realize he's Greek.
Oh, halfway through the ceremony.
Yeah.
And was Opa! Like, yeah. Who knew?
Like, I'm so Greek now.
You discover your Greekness.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You ever see those commercials for, like, Ancestry.com where they're like, when we were growing up, we were German. We had lederhosen, we ate sauerkraut, and then they get DNA tests. They're like, we're Irish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what happens. It's all very sketchy. The records aren't great.
Yeah.
It's basically nobody really... tells the family stories.
Exactly.
So you don't, or you, the family only tells a certain number of stories. The same ones over and over.
I know that if I had an opportunity to completely start over, mm-hmm. and I was saying like something happened and we're like, everybody's moving to blah, blah place.
Yeah.
And then you get there and the records aren't good and people are like, who are you? Where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
You can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, why would you just go with what you have?
Yeah.
It up.
We didn't know how old my grandfather was.
And it's none of your business.
He knew, but he wouldn't really tell anybody. Ever.
What?
Because it was, well, he said he was a certain age and we believed it.
Okay.
And, but the
this
records.
This goes way back to when he was like 12 and he lied about something probably.
Yeah, because they faked a birth certificate to make him look older.
To make him look, and he came up with some pancake makeup with lines here right. and there, like give me a little gray in the front.
Yeah, so he could come to the U.S.,
Yeah, but lots of people did that.
And then the going for other records or whatever, the places burned down and there was nothing. And so it's just like kind of, was it 05? I mean, not 05. 1905.
Yeah, 05, 1905.
1905?
Your grandmother just got here a couple of years ago. 11 years ago. That's an amazing Ellis Island story. But yeah, it's like one of those things that you just keep going with it.
Right.
And also, like, to be honest, it's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's funny that you have all these commercials, and it's mostly, it's never like black people are like, I didn't know I was black. It was like, you knew you were black. You know what I mean? It's always some random white person.
It is, because
like, we were Italian.
We don't know.
You don't know.
No, and we're all mixed.
But that's what's so weird, that you could be so in, I mean, these are people who are like, we were German. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? If you were to do your DNA testing and find out that actually you're not you're not Polish,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're actually 100% Irish.
It's like, now what? Yeah, nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Right, because it's...
So interesting. You just may dig up some other relatives and be like, oh, we're related. Isn't that nice?
Great. Whatever. Piss off. We're not giving you anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing the DNA testing just to find out where I'm from. Uh-huh. It's probably going to be a place that sucks. All right. then I'm not going to be interested in it. I'm like, great.
I just paid $99.
Yeah, find out I'm from a place that really sucks.
But maybe you're the queen of that area.
Yeah, right.
Wasn't there, that was the case? It was somebody in New Jersey. She lived in Newark.
They found out she was a queen or something?
Yeah.
And she'd been living in Newark? Great tribe.
Yeah, but it was a country in Africa, and with her family line, she was the next person to take the crown.
Mm-hmm.
And then whoever was in power died. And so they were like, they found her. They're like, you're the next.
I'd be like, I'm not doing that. Because it's probably one of those things when you get there and you're like, oh, this is amazing. You're the queen. They're like, get to work.
Oh, yeah. Or like, so many people want to kill you. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any children?
Yeah.
You need to start having a lot of them mm-hmm. right now. With this guy. He's the king, mm-hmm. by the way.
And he's like, why? Yeah.
Exactly.
Did you hear about King Tut?
No.
Oh, my God. He had so many medical problems. It was ridiculous. He had...
Did you hear about King Tut? Do tell. What are they saying now?
They're talking about it. They really did a lot of analysis on his remains. And he had this bone condition where the bones were deteriorating from the inside.
Oh, brittle.
He was brittle and
He was young. He was in a boy king.
Yeah, he was a teenager when he died. But he had his feet... he could barely walk and then everything was deteriorating. He had this massive overbite.
Oh, Lord.
That's...
Sorry. Just, really? That's not good.
And he had a whole bunch of other things going on. He had it.
What I
had
love...
It, he had it hard.
about those that time period. You know, obviously we don't have actual images for people. They made everyone look amazing in death.
Yeah.
But they couldn't all have been that good looking.
Yeah.
I've never seen an image of King Tut with an overbite.
And then his whole body, around. His body was crushed, but after death. So he died and whatever, and then was like totally like a steamroller went over him.
Wow, that's so bizarre.
Isn't that weird?
There's, I mean, how much remains are there? I feel like they've been poking at this guy our whole lives.
I know.
There's nothing left. It's just like a tooth.
Yeah.
They're looking into that.
So, all right, go on with your...
So the next one is a movie I never heard of. Criminal. Did you hear about this?
Who?
The story of the right man in the wrong body. You know that one.
Oh, the old body switch.
Yeah, right man, wrong body. But in a last-ditch effort to stop a diabolical plot, a dead CIA operative's memories, secrets, and skills are implanted into an unpredictable and dangerous death row inmate, of course, in the hopes that he will complete the operative's mission. What?
What?
Like, if we wrote a log, like, if this was our movie, they'd be like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Take your friend with you. Yeah. Don't come back.
Right.
Like, why would you do that? You have a dead CIA's memories, skills, and secrets. Yeah, let's put him into a death row.
For sure.
Because, you know, people are usually on death row for petty crimes. Okay. So that's probably totally safe to put that guy in there.
Yeah.
Bizarre. And then the last one was Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, which I wanted to see. It didn't do well. And didn't do well at all.
Huh.
So those are the worst six movies so far of the year. According
I think because they're trying to mix too many things and capitalize on the zombies, which are quite frankly going out of style.
Yeah, zombies is old now. Yeah. I mean, even I don't even know if I'm going to watch the next Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I'm not even that interested.
Yeah.
Negan Schmegan. Who cares?
Oh, but yeah, he's a good looking.
I don't think so. I don't like him.
You
Jeffrey
don't like
Archer?
Him? Jeffrey Archer.
Is that his name?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Whatever. Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He looks like somebody shaved off a piece of Bruce Campbell, put that in the petri dish, worked with that for like a decade or two, and then put him on his Negan. No, I'm not interested. All right, what do you have?
Barnyard news.
So barnyard news is when we just like to give props to animals in the barnyard and outside the barnyard.
Yeah.
Is this in or out?
Oh, it goes wherever it wants to go. I'll tell you.
So, is this a snake?
A giant red-headed centipede.
Ew. I've seen these before. They're gross.
Yeah.
In person.
Oh, have you seen those?
It's scary.
The Texas Parks and Wildlife Department posted a picture of a giant red-headed centipede.
Just to scare the shit out of everybody. Yeah. You know Texas? Sleep tight.
Yeah, and the image went viral. While many people reacted with horror.
How do they know that?
The critter doesn't eat people or seriously harm them in any way.
It is poisonous, though.
And not at least, at least not usually. The giant red-headed centipedes can be found in certain regions of the southern United States and northern Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And do take people by surprise fairly often.
Hello! What a shock!
Aha!
Yes!
Pops up from the
Did
behind.
You know? No, I didn't. Squash.
It typically hangs out under rocks and or leaves and
I don't like the way it hangs. It chills. It's laying, chilling.
Sometimes these centipedes wander into people's homes where they can cause panic.
They don't wander. See what I mean? Like they're acting like this thing. It's just the anthropomorphic. They like it's hanging out. Now it's just going for a quick gander around. It ends up in someone's living room.
Yeah, but it's 8 inches long and has dozens of legs, maybe 21 to 23 pairs. And it uses their many appendages to grasp prey while feeding.
Yep. They're creepy.
It eats insects, arachnids, and some of the larger ones can take down rodents, snakes, lizards, toads.
They can take it down. How? Is it taking down a mouse?
Yeah, if it feels like it, but they like to have moths.
But here's the thing, like, how lazy and just out of it is that mouse to not see that thing coming? You know what I mean?
What if the mouse goes, like, into a hole?
And just is taking a nap?
Yeah.
And then the centipede comes in. Okay. That's just scenario.
Yeah.
Wait, he's had too many.
Yeah.
He's saying it. He's watching. He's doing a marathon of Breaking Bad.
The critter kills its victims by using its fangs, which are located near the mouth and contains venom glands, and inject a toxin into its unlucky prey.
Okay.
Damn. Yeah. And it can also make incisions into human skin that way, too.
It can?
Yeah.
For what purpose? Just like
show you who's boss.
Yes.
And one of these bites a human, it's usually very painful.
Yeah.
And victims of these centipede bites report localized pain and swelling.
Because of the poison.
It's tissue death, dizziness, nausea, and headaches.
Wow.
It could also have, you could have kidney failure or heart attack.
Really? From just seeing the damn thing?
Yeah, because it's gross. It's like, it's big.
It's interesting because I've seen these and I'm really into insects. So whenever we go somewhere, if there's like an insectarium or, you know, like a little zoo of insects, whatever, I always go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that over time, being exposed to these things, I am less creeped out by them.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, even though it's really creepy, once you see it and you see it, a lot of them around, you're like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it has bright yellow legs and a red head.
Super red.
Super red.
It's
glowing
very
red
vibrant.
Head. Yeah. Gleaming red head and venomous fangs.
And because it's telling you, look, I'm dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, don't mess.
Right.
Basically. Ugh, I didn't know they were in Texas.
Yeah. So they're out and running around.
I feel like I've seen it in Mexico.
Yeah. That's what they're saying. Northern Mexico.
They're saying Northern Mexico. I like, that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Gross barnyard. I guess it could be in the barn. So this is, I don't know what this is. It maybe could go under tales from Dirk Campfire.
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like, you know, I'll just go into it.
All right.
So, you know about the lizard people, the reptilians.
Oh, right. Yeah, let's just give a recap of what a lizard people
so the
person is.
The lizard person is a race of reptilians that supposedly come from outer space.
Right. They look like full, like, human-sized lizards.
Yeah. But they put on human skin somehow, and then they become, you know, they become Republicans, and sometimes they run for office and become vice president.
And they have positions of power throughout the world, and they network.
So I was looking up stuff about the reptilian people, and I couldn't find that much about them. But then I found this thing about something called the Babylonian Brotherhood, which is apparently above the Illuminati, which I didn't know was possible.
What?
Exactly. So I'll just give you what I found out. There's some guy named, his last name is Ick. And he is a footballer and also a conspiracy theorist.
Love it.
Conspiracy theorist from England. And he argued that there's something called the biggest secret. And it's that human beings originated from a breeding program run by the reptilians that are called the Anunnaki. And they come from the Draco constellation.
Oh,
and so
okay.
They've come here.
That's one of the finer constellations.
It's the great food.
Yeah.
You know, the service is impeccable.
And the beaches.
The beaches are lovely, if you can get to them. You know what I'm saying? So basically, what we call reality is just a hologram. They've created everything that we see now as a holographic projection.
And what are we doing, really?
Who knows? But they're feeding off of our negativity. So the Babylonian Brotherhood.
Why do then we get the show?
Maybe, this is keeping us occupied.
Oh, okay.
While they
feed. Like, those two need the show. Because if they look behind the curtain,
they'll see what's there.
Yeah.
So it's, civilization was created from a network of secret societies. He says of an ancient race of people, or ancient race, not of people, mm-hmm. an ancient race that's from the Middle and Near East
mm-hmm.
called the Babylonian Brotherhood. And they spread their reptilian bloodline through out history, mm-hmm. including 43 American presidents, so they're mostly in North America,
oh.
three British and two Canadian prime ministers, various Sumerian kings and Egyptian pharaohs, mm-hmm. I think probably King Tut is in there as well, and a few celebrities, including Bob Hope.
Family. I can see that easily. Bob Hope was, are you kidding? Someone as humorless as Bob Hope,
yes.
becoming so famous.
Becoming a comedian. I never understood why he was popular.
And then it's like golf.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So, also the Rockefellers. The Rothschild, the House of Windsor, and a lot of established families from, aristocratic families from the eastern United mm-hmm. States, and also the Queen of England.
Yeah. Well, right, that's easy.
So, underneath the Babylonian Brotherhood, you have the Illuminati, who I thought were on the top,
mm-hmm.
the Round Table, the IMF, the United Nations, the London School of Economics,
mm-hmm.
and the CIA.
Okay.
And the goal of the Babylonian Brotherhood is to microchip everybody. That is what they want to do with us.
Since when? When this?
It's going to happen. They're trying to get people to chip children now. I was just reading an article.
Right,
about
but why? How long has this been their goal? Meaning, like,
well, they created mankind 200,000 to 300,000 years ago,
and now they're getting around to the chips, which is their ultimate goal.
Well, they tried it three times. The first time was 200,000 to 300,000 years ago. They tried to breed with us again 30,000 years ago, and then just 7,000 years ago. They also they have a powerful hypnotic stare, and they can actually give the evil eye. Like, it's a real thing.
Oh, okay.
For them. They have a hybrid DNA that allows them to shapeshift
oh.
when they consume human blood, a la Dick Cheney.
All right.
And one of the Rolling Stones, right, who gets the blood transfusion. Mm-hmm. They also, unfortunately, they bred this Babylonian Brotherhood. They said they bred with the Nordics, people who have blonde hair and blue eyes, and they produced a race of slave masters. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah.
The Aryans. And it says the Aryans retain reptilian traits, including just being cold-blooded.
Well, yeah.
Yes. A desire for top-down control, an obsession with rituals, fascism, rationalism, and racism. So we can thank the Babylonian Brotherhood for the Aryans.
Jeez.
Isn't it so bizarre? I'd never heard of this. This is a huge conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
That is, it's so big that I was surprised I'd never heard of it before.
I've never heard of it
either.
And
we know. Heard of.
Yeah, we hear about a lot of things. Yeah. And we research a lot of these things, too.
And this was very interesting. I'm not a conspiracy person, but sometimes I find it fascinating to, like, delve into this. This guy's written tons of books on it. He talks about it a lot. He seems to have very strong ideas and historical, you know, things that he's drawn into for this thing called the Babylonian Brotherhood. And he's a white guy, but he's clearly putting it on white folk.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean,
he's not saying it's anybody else.
But white people who are doing this, yeah.
According to him. The area. So it's pretty. So the Babylonian Brotherhood, never heard of it, but there it is.
Wow.
Weird, huh?
That's really weird.
Weird. Okay, what do you have?
I have advice on advice.
So advice on advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we try to improve upon it by giving our advice on that advice, hence advice on advice. So what do you have?
I have Dear Abby.
Okay, cool.
Dear Abby, I met a man 8 years ago who has become everything to me.
Wow.
You're
reading that so sincerely. I almost have a feeling.
Yeah.
I almost emoted, sincerely.
We see each other weekly and discuss life, work, home, and
weekly.
More.
Weekly?
Yeah.
Mm. 8 years? Once a week?
We are both married to other people.
I was going to say.
There you go.
Okay, thank you.
Our relationship is not only emotional, but also physical.
We get the boots.
Hey. I thought you were going to say we get demoted.
Well, that too.
We are secretive about our relationship only with our children. We appear in public together, and my spouse knows about it.
Huh?
Many people
are... How do you think your kids don't know about it? It's going to get resolved? Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Many people...
I'm going to call and response up in here. I should just listen.
Yeah. Many people at our regular venues comment on how much in love we seem to be. A few of my friends are privy to our relationship and wonder when we're leaving our spouses to be together.
Do they say, you guys seem happy?
Yeah, you seem in love. We all know it. We can see it, and you're obviously, and they're out and about, and everybody knows but their kids. My question is, can it be okay to be happy with what we have? We enjoy the times we have traveled, talked, and loved.
Okay.
I'm virtually ignored by my spouse, as is he. The time he has been in my life is the happiest I've ever been, but I don't want more. It's hard to explain. People think I'm in denial, but I'm not. He has issues. I won't want full time.
Okay.
As I suppose everyone does, and I don't want to ruin what we have. Thoughts? Signed, part-time lover.
Well, he and she. You and me. I mean, it's funny because I feel like we come across these a lot, that people have a marriage that's basically dead.
Yeah.
So they just start having a relationship with someone else, and that relationship is going fine. But for some reason, they stay in the marriage, and then they say they don't want any more with this person. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've never been in a situation like that.
It's real. When you're in a long-term situation, it's really hard to leave, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And you're miserable and you hate it.
But
they're
going out and they're not even trying to hide this.
Yeah.
They're just, I mean, I would say that this is, as far as I know, and I'm no expert on this kind of stuff, but this is an open marriage.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the spouses know.
Mm-hmm. Then they're okay with it.
They're okay with it. I would imagine, but not like, you know, they all go out together.
Yeah. Well, that's different. That's a different kind of relationship.
And it seems like I don't want to take on
the whole person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just take these parts.
Okay. And they're seeing each other only once a week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Here's the response. Dear part-time, you and your lover have an arrangement that seems to work not only for you, but also for your spouses. It's unconventional, to put it mildly. But you are so open about it, I'm surprised your children haven't caught wind of it by now.
Yeah.
My question to you would be what you and this man plans to do when they find out, because I don't think you can keep them in the dark forever.
The children? She didn't say how old they were.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Yeah, there's no ages here,
so
we don't know.
I mean, if they're very young...
I met a man 8 years ago has become everything to me. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we know 8 years.
So the kids are at least... Jeez.
Yeah,
you know what? The kids at this point are probably going to start to figure it out.
Yeah, so the thing is, like, when you have these kinds of...
I don't think she was pregnant going out with this dude.
Right.
Like...
So the kid, and wait,
so let's say they're 12, 13?
Yeah, when you 14? Have small children, you don't have a lot of time to do this kind of thing.
So I'm going to say these kids are probably teens.
Yeah.
If she's trying to hide it from them. But it's a funny thing because you know when you are that age, you start to become aware of things and like a friend might see something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like if I were 13 or 14 and I saw one of my friend's parents
mm-hmm.
with, like say one of my friend's moms with a guy who mm-hmm. wasn't her dad, I'd be like, yo.
Yeah.
We just saw your mom, like, you know, in the parking lot with some dude.
Yeah.
It's not your dad. Who is that dude?
Oh, wait a minute. She also says my spouse knows. It doesn't say what his spouse, if her his spouse knows. So it could be that as well.
Okay. That's weird. So what is that? Okay. So what's the...
That was the advice. It's like, you can't hide it forever from the kids. It says it's unconventional, to put it mildly. Because you're open. I'm surprised your children haven't caught wind of it. My question would be what you and this man plan to do when they find out.
I don't like this advice.
I don't like it at all. This is terrible.
You're laying down the law on this one.
Yeah. So what do you think? So the kids are, you have to, if you're going to commit to this kind of arrangement
mm-hmm.
and all the consenting parties are know what's going on.
But isn't it going to be weird for the kids at home to see their parents in like a loveless
mm-hmm.
not even just loveless, like she said that they're pretty much ignored. So they just, you know, they're not paying any attention to each other at all at mm-hmm. home. And they think that the kids don't know what's going on. Are they going to do this forever? Are they going to be the kind of people who are like, well, we'll wait till our kids get older.
Yeah.
And we'll make our, well, or when, what I always liked is I had friends whose parents would get divorced when they would go away for college. And my friends were like, why didn't you guys do this when we were at mm-hmm. home when it was a hell
yeah.
every day? Like, why do you wait till I leave?
Right. And now.
To make it comfortable at home.
Yeah.
Like, what's...
You should have made it comfortable years ago.
Yeah.
Right, I guess... Or who knows what the financial aspect of this, too. Maybe everyone's just like, I like my, you know, my 10 o'clock jazzercise.
I think for me...
And I want this lifestyle where everything is paid for me.
I don't think I could live with somebody who was having a relationship with somebody else and then still be doing all of the financial mm-hmm, stuff mm-hmm. together. Like, that for me personally, that comes as a package.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I'm not splitting
rent
with you and you're going out there and moaning down with Cindy. From wherever.
Well, maybe these people are not, you know, what is, that's the thing. You have to figure out what's working for them.
These are some reptilian mofos.
Yeah.
Maybe they're Babylonian.
Yeah.
They're Babylonian Brotherhood style.
Yeah. I don't know. Weird. I think it's weird. And, everybody has to be on board and then it has to be, the kids have to know.
So here's something, a little reality TV roundup kind. There's a show coming on it came on in April 1st. All right. I'd never heard of it. It's called What If We Get Married? So basically, it says, what if, this is a reality show, what if you married your friend with benefits or your best friend? It's a question many friends have asked each other.
No.
And TLC's What If We Get Married explores the changing relationships of two couples who have never dated each other as they figure out if the key to a successful marriage is sexual chemistry, yes,
mm-hmm.
or friendship, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'll find out what happens when they ditch the traditional pattern of relationship, engagement, and marriage. And take the plunge. So instead of going through the, let's see if this will work.
Yeah.
By having a relationship first, kind of giving it a test run,
mm-hmm.
checking it out, see how things go. Let's just skip all that. Jump right into
just
the marriage.
Just get married.
Just get right into just the get marriage. Just get in there. I don't know what people think that marriage is. It's hard. Like, why would you just jump into it? And what was wrong with the friends with benefits?
Because marriage is a thing where if it doesn't work, you can get out of it.
You can, but it's like, it seems like these people had a good thing going.
Yeah.
What did they get married for? That's what I mean. Like, will the couple's new dynamic cause an onslaught of problem?
Yeah.
Or will the fireworks last forever?
No.
No, not at all. What If We Get Married premiered Friday, April 1st at 9:30. Bizarre.
That's such a weird.
It's a, like, there's a bunch of shows, reality shows that I've seen ads for. Like, first of all, I don't watch TLC.
Mm-hmm.
The Learning Channel, I don't know if people know that that's what it stood for.
Yeah, yeah, it's supposed to give you.
I don't know what, you know. I don't know what it is now, but it's like every single show on there is like taking people who seem somewhat psychologically unprepared for something, usually a relationship,
mm-hmm.
and then they throw them into it.
Yeah.
So it's like Married at First Sight, arranged marriage shows. Like, I don't have a
was
problem.
Was it Naked and Afraid? Is that in that
is
one?
Is that on TLC?
Oh, I don't know.
That's more of an adventure one.
Right.
But those people don't have to be in a relationship. They just have to survive.
Yeah.
I actually watched Naked and Afraid. It was kind of interesting. Usually, it's the woman who's like, get it together.
Oh, really?
And the guy, a lot of the times the guys.
What is it? Two people go?
It's two people go for 21 days. And I think they're doing 21 days because of women having their period.
Yeah.
They're naked. They drop them off somewhere. They have survival backgrounds. They meet each other for the first time, and then they have to work together as a team.
So you have to work it around the woman's schedule.
Mm-hmm. Around her cycle, I think. Or the woman, or you take birth control and you skip a period. But it's really interesting because a lot of the shows focus on the guys coming in with an attitude that this woman is not going to be able to pull her weight. Because, you know, we're not as physically strong as men, and we have other skill sets traditionally.
Yeah.
But it's always interesting because the women usually provide a lot of the food, a lot of the foraging, a lot of the homemaking stuff. But also, the women, a lot of the times, provides a lot of moral support that the guy didn't know he needed.
Right.
To get through it.
Right.
Because there's the companionship.
Yeah.
It's not a romantic thing. But it's just like, there's someone, like some of the women who are like, I know I can't really do a lot of hunting. Because that's not my skill set. But I can encourage my partner.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
Because you see these guys getting demoralized. Like they're trying to make a fire. And it could go either one of two ways. The woman could be like, come on. Or she could be like, yes, you can do it. And then it's like kind of a team effort. So that show's not that, it's not that bad. And it's 21 days. But these shows where it's like what if we get married?
Yeah.
It's weird. I feel like it's kind of, it's messing with people in a way. So you have a friends with benefits situation.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're like, well, just quick get married. Mm-hmm. See how that works. We're going to film it.
It's the idea. What is their expectation of marriage? What do they think that marriage is supposed to be?
I don't know. I have no idea. And like, what was wrong with what they were doing? So I think so it's friends with benefits or your best friend, which is, I think, weird.
It is, because, if you're friends, if you're just like... Yeah.
If you're best friends, but you fooled around a little bit, or you kind of are into each other, then you have two things to consider, like, how, if your friendship is really that important, do you want to, like, mess with it?
Right.
I mean, maybe it seems like a good idea. I've never wanted to marry my best friend, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've ever had a friend with benefit.
Yeah. With a benefit. You get this one act.
That's all
you get.
I'm like, one, yeah.
One
benefit.
One benefit.
One benefit.
You get one boob.
That's it. One boob. Just a tip. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks.
You know, we cleaned up when we were little. I have, you know, a lot of brothers and sisters, and there was a crawl space in our mother's house, and we would all play there, and a lot of our toys were there.
I'm wincing already.
And then, you know, as you get older, you just kind of stop playing, but you never really, we never cleaned up the toys.
They were just in there?
They're just in there.
Getting angry.
Left in the positions.
Festering.
Yep, that we last left them. And that was it. It was just like...
You should take a picture and then go back later, see if they're still in that position.
Well, years later, now we're cleaning out the house and we have to go into the crawl space and see. We saw these Barbies and different toys. And then they found this clown that nobody remembers. You can identify your toys.
Yeah, of course.
And everybody could identify.
Was it like a cloth doll or something?
It was a weird plastic head.
Ew.
And like a cloth body.
And this shit was from the 70s/80s, so it probably looked all janky.
And the head was dented.
Of course.
Nobody knows why. And my brother pulled it out. It's like, look at this. And we're just, like, I'll send you the picture.
That's awful. What'd you guys do with it? Did you fling it away, I hope?
I don't know. Somebody took it away.
Hopefully your brother disposed of it.
In a garbage far, far away.
In a garbage pit far, far away from my area.
But yeah, so...